Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Two weeks ago, when we preached, we looked at verses 8 through 10. We showed the video of called God Chisel. And so hopefully you were here for that and you saw that and was encouraged by that. I want to kind of pick up where we left off there and then look at verses 11 through 22 there at the end. So let's just open with prayer and prepare our hearts to receive the word. Father, we just say thank you, God, for this word that we have that we can study. And as we study it, Lord, we can learn more about you. We can learn about truth. We can learn about what you've done in us and through us. Lord, we can learn how you want us to live. Lord, this word brings life. So I just pray, God, that you would open up our eyes of understanding that we could see Christ this morning. As Paul prayed for this church in Ephesus, Lord, that's our prayer as well. Lord, open up the eyes of our understanding. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into the holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Verse 10, for you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which Christ prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The last time we preached, I had some verses on my notes that I was unable to get to just because of time and those things. And so I'd like to camp out a little bit at verse 10 and then transition through the rest of the chapter that we looked at this morning. On your sermon outline, you can see that there's some verses here. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So again, God has prepared good works for each of us. God has designed those good works and prepared them in advance for us. Good works are not bad. Amen? In the church, we seem to think, oh, works is a bad word. No, it's not. Works is a good word. It is the thing that God has prepared. We find our fulfillment as Christians when we're walking in those things. Again, if you go back to our last sermon, and you can get it online and look at it and listen to it again to be reminded that we were designed with a plan and a purpose, And when we come to know Christ, then we can find that fulfillment. And then God, through his power of his Holy Spirit, equips us and then releases us into those giftings. When we walk in those giftings, when we walk in those passions and those desires, we find the fulfillment. It's when we don't do those things that we find ourselves being frustrated. And many Christians are frustrated, in my opinion, because they're not following after their passion that God has put on their heart. The thing that God has called them to and released them into it, they don't walk in those things. And so they're frustrated Christians. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, "In whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." That is the greatest work that God is doing in us. As Christians, we come to know Christ, we're born again, born into his nature, born with his DNA, born victorious over sin and death because of what Christ has done. And then Christ is doing that redemptive work, that sanctifying work in us, molding us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. If you remember in the video, they asked the guy, "When you look in the mirror, who do you see?" And he said proudly, "I see me." And he says, that's the problem. God wants to work in your life and work in my life so much that when we look at ourselves, we don't see us, but we see Christ. That when our family looks at us, they don't see us, but they see Christ. When our friends look at us, they don't see us, but they see Christ. Even our enemies, when our enemies look at us, they see Christ. That is the work that God is doing in us. That is the work that we should allow him to do, and that is his desire, and that is what he is doing in all Christians. Our job is to simply allow him to do it. Just like in the video, allowing God to chisel away. Not controlling when or where he chisels or how he chisels, but allowing him just to do as he desires, trusting in who he is. If God is a good God, if God is who we say he is and his motive towards us is love, then we can trust ourselves to him fully and say, "Now, God, complete your work in my life." Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." For it is God who works in you. You see, these works that you and I were created for in verse 10, you and I cannot fulfill those works in and of ourselves. It is God and God alone that works in us to will and to do for his good pleasure. It is God that works in us. What are the things that you are passionate about? What are the things that are within you? We've heard this morning Larry shared his heart for missions. And he went and did good works. But it was God that worked in him. It was God that gave him those sermons to preach. It was God that changed his schedule. It was God that set up those divine appointments for prayer and those times to meet with the church leaders. It was God that was working through him. But that wouldn't have happened if Larry wouldn't have got on the airplane and flew over there. It wouldn't have happened if Larry would have saved his money so he could go. It wouldn't have happened if Larry wouldn't have made the sacrifices it took in the natural, practical sense to leave America and go to the Philippines and then be used of God. Amen? The same is true for each and every one of us. Your passion may not be missions. Maybe it's discipleship. Maybe it's evangelism. Maybe it's reaching out. Maybe it's serving people. Maybe it's hospitality. Whatever it is, whatever the passion that God has given to you, God has put that in there for his good pleasure. God takes pleasure when we allow him to move and work through us. I believe it's one of the greatest pleasures that he sees apart from a person coming to know Christ is when he allows when his people allow him to be their God. He says, "I will be your God, you'll be my people, and I will dwell with you." A lot of Christians want to say, "Well, you can be our God, but I don't know if we want to dwell with you. I mean, we want to do our own thing." But it is God that works in us. And this should encourage our hearts because the task that God gives us to do, he is the one that's going to do it through you. I was talking to my mom this last week and, I've been preaching sermons for a long, long time. And you move into a Lincoln in 96 and, was it 15 and a half years ago, 16 years ago this summer, something like that. And all the sermons I've preached, all the outreaches we've done, all the times I've preached before I even left Wichita. And I told my mom this last week, I was like, I still get nervous when I preach on Sundays. She's like, really? I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I'm preaching the word of God. I mean, I think there should be She's like, well, you've been doing it for so long. It's like, but I still get nervous. But it's still allowing God to preach through me. It's still allowing God to do the work. My passion and my desire is to influence and encourage as many people as I can. That's my heart. And that's why I love leadership development stuff, is because if I can encourage and train somebody to be a leader, then they can go and influence more people. And then my influence and my work and my value here on earth to the Lord is greater. We did this marriage conference thing yesterday and Friday and Saturday, and I didn't preach. I didn't do any teaching at all. But I sat there and just prayed for all these couples that are just sitting there. God strengthened their marriages. And some of them that were there, I don't even know if they're saved. But God, just do a work in their hearts. Just reaching out to people. That's my heart's desire. But I know that it's not up to me to do it. Because God will do it through me if I allow him to do it. And the work that he does in me is a good work. Amen? The work that he does in you is a good work. So let's look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. For we are God's workmanship. God is working in us. And as he's working in us, he's working through us. As God is working in us, he's working through us. And that's how we allow God to do good works through us. God is working in us. In other words, when we came to know Christ Jesus, the first two chapters of this book that we've looked at so far, that God is working in us, we are saints. We are delivered. God has made us holy and sanctified us. If you go back to verse 4 of chapter 1, it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world that we should be holy. That's talking about our position. And then he goes on to talk about our works without blame before him. God has desired and determined that his people will be holy positionally in Christ, and that we will be presented before him without blame. In other words, our works that we do. It's the picture in the Old Testament of bringing your sacrifice to God. That our sacrifice to God, our works, would be without blame. They will be good works, works of righteousness. But it is God that works in us to accomplish that. God says, I'm looking for a people who will be my people, holy and set apart unto him, who will then live in that realm, and from that realm will allow God to move through us. There is nothing greater that I've ever experienced on this earth than leading somebody to Jesus Christ. Because at that moment, their life is forever changed. Positionally, now they are brought near. The last part of this chapter that we looked at this morning. Christ came and he preached peace to those that were near, to the Jews, to those that were afar off, to the Gentiles. And his desire is to bring them in together into one, and that is the mystery of the church. That is God bringing the church together. But in the church, God wants to live and flow and work through us. And it is God that does it. So the next time that somebody asks you to share a testimony, the next time that God asks you to pray for somebody, the next time that God encourages you to reach out to a friend, don't say, I can't do that, because that's a given. None of us can. But God, who works in us, will do it if we will allow him. The work that God is doing in us is a great work. So, this is on your sheet. The same resurrection power that saved you and took you out of the graveyard of sin can daily help you to live for Christ and glorify him. It's by Wiersbe. The same power that brought us from the pit of hell, the power of God, is the same power that lives inside of us to live for him today. I do not need to struggle as a Christian. I do not need to struggle as a Christian. And it's so frustrating to watch Christian friends and people that I know struggle in their Christianity. Because the power of God that works in us to bring us to God, setting us free from the sting of death, is the same power that lives inside of us today. There is no reason at all for a Christian to be in bondage to the things of this world. None. Because of the work of Christ. Not because we attain it or we can do something. No, it is because of the work that God does in us. For it is God who works in you. It is God that does the work in us. It is God that sets us free. This morning we sang about God, open up the floodgates of heaven. Give us what you have. We are desperate for that. We need that. Some of us this morning unintentionally pray that prayer, sing that song, and as it's happening, we take our umbrella out and we put it up over our heads. It's raining out. We got to get rid of those umbrellas. We got to stay on the potter's wheel. We got to realize the power of God that has done an eternal work in our lives is the same power that lives in us today for the practical needs of this life. Because if the power of God did not really deliver us from hell and did not really give us eternal life, then we might as well pack it all up and go. But if it's true that God has delivered us from hell, if it's true that God is the life-giving being that he says that he is, if it's true that there is no sin in God and his holiness and righteousness, and he has made us like him, therefore without sin, without shame, without guilt, if that part is true, then the same power that did that now lives in me today to live in victory. Because Christ has already defeated it, defeated the enemy. We've looked at it in Ephesians, we looked at it in Colossians, that God has made a public spectacle of Satan and all the principalities of the air and all the demon activity and everything. So Christian, allow God to live in you and to work through you as he declares that he has done. The level to which God works through you is determined by the level you allow God to work in you. If I do not allow God to work in me, then how can I ever allow him to flow through me? Every sermon I've ever shared has been God beating me up on the inside. It has been God working in me. It is God moving me. And then when the time comes, it becomes a message at some point. Typically, not always. I got a bunch of sermons I've never preached. And God preached them to me. But if I don't allow God to work and move in my life, then God will not be able to flow through me. And some people say, well, that's okay. Well, I don't want God to work through me. I'm not all into all that kind of stuff. But it goes back to the fulfilling of what God has done. It goes back to you being freed as a Christian and being fulfilled as a Christian. Are you satisfied this morning as a Christian? The story we heard this morning from Larry about the elderly lady being healed. This week I actually ran into Rodney Heinrichs, who just got back from their trip, and saw him. I said, hey, how was your trip? He's like, man, there was a lot of good healings. There's a lot of good ministry. There was leaders and just encouraging things from the leaders that were there. Those are good works. I want to see those good works here. I want to see people getting saved. I want to see people being healed. I want to see people being delivered from the demonic activity. Are you satisfied with what God is doing through you today, or do you want more? And this week I had the privilege to pray with a fifth grader to receive Christ. What a joy that is. What a joy that is to see a person come to understand, at the very early stages of what Christianity is and what it means to have a Heavenly Father that loves them, and to see that Christ is the way to heaven and it's not through works. I think a lot of Christians are not allowing God to work in them, therefore they're not allowing God to work through them. And then we as Christians become frustrated and unfulfilled, and we say that the church is irrelevant to a society. That is a bunch of baloney. The church is the foundation of our society, because the church represents what Christ is and who God is. I remember one time I was doing a wedding ceremony, and it was outdoors, and in the middle of this wedding, God just says, do you know what the role of the pastor is? And I'm like, God, I'm kind of busy right now. Can we talk later? And he said, this is the role of the pastor. I'm like, what, to do weddings? He's like, what are people doing? I'm like, oh, they're taking pictures. All because of, he said, exactly. said, you represent in those pictures God to those people. After the ceremony, this the little grandma of one of the people getting married comes up to me and she says, I've been praying for this couple for a long time. So good, you know, that you were here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for encouraging. Thank you for meeting with them, you know, in premarital counseling and talking with them and presenting Christ to them. Same thing at funerals. At funerals, there's a pastor there representing God to the people that are celebrating the life or mourning the loss if they're not Christians. Hospital visitations, home visitations, baby dedications, all those things, the pastor is representing God to the people. But is God working through them? God working through the pastor? God working through the church to the lost? If the pastor says, I'm not going to show up or I'm not going to do that, then it doesn't allow God to work through them. We cannot allow God, or we cannot limit God to work in us. What a tragedy that is when that takes place. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to flip over to Ephesians 4. I don't want to get too far into Ephesians because I won't have nothing to preach when we get there. But Ephesians chapter 24, verse 25, shows us exactly what we're talking about. It says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Again, the last half of this book, chapters 4, 5, and 6, tell us how to live our life in the practical sense, based upon 1, 2, and 3. I'm a saint, I'm born again, I'm holy unto God, presenting my offering to God as holy unto him. And he tells us in verse 25, stop lying. Because you are a saint, because of what Christ has done in you, because the power of God lives inside of you and moves in you, stop lying. Fair enough. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Again, practical application about how to live our lives. Verse 27, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer. Okay, so if you, before you got saved, if you were a thief, stop stealing. Why? Because of what God has done in you. He's given you victory over stealing and over the passion and the desire to do that, to live in the law of disobedience under the father of disobedience, as we looked at early in this chapter. But I want you to look this to see why he tells him to stop stealing. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. So sure, go get a job. Stop stealing. Get a job. Get some money so you don't have to steal. It says, working with your hands, what is good? Listen, that he may have something to give him who has need. Doesn't that just kind of throw our natural thinking? Okay, oh, sure, Jason, I get it. And now I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to steal. You know, I should go get a job. I should make money to provide for my needs and keep it all to myself. No. Paul tells you as a saint, as a Christian, born-again believer, don't steal. Don't steal. If you used to steal in your past, stop stealing. Go get a job. Work with your hands. Do something good. All right, I got some money. Now, when you get some money, give it to those who don't have a job. Give it to those that are in need. That is God working in the life of the Christian. That is good works. That is being a Christian, set apart unto God, and now I'm going to use what God has given to me with my hands. I'm going to use whatever talents he's given me. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to earn money so I can meet my needs, so I don't have to steal anymore, but then God can use me to bless other people. In your area, my area, maybe it's not a financial thing, maybe it's a different area, that God would move and work through you so that you can be a blessing to those around you. Galatians chapter 5, go with me there, please. Let's back up a few pages. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. God is molding us into the image of a son, Jesus Christ. Amen? The work of sanctification. Working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Letting God molding us into the image of a son. He's given to us the Holy Spirit, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, this is a definition right here of the work that God is wanting to do in us, if we will allow him to do it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see that? If we live in the Spirit, if we're positionally in the Spirit, then let us walk in the Spirit. Let us walk out these good works. What are these good works? Love, joy, patience, kindness. Are you seeing the theme here? The work that God does in us is this. In other words, this morning, if you're sitting there and you're like, how do I know if God's really working in my life? It's really easy. The Bible gives us the definition. What's the fruit of your life? The fruit of the Spirit is these things. The fruit. Not fruits. Fruit. I've heard it explained like the cluster of a grape. It's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, you go get a cluster of grapes. It's the fruit. It's the grape. And you have love, joy, peace. We try to kind of separate all these out like a buffet line. That's why I've preached it before many times. If you need more joy in your life, you don't go asking God for joy. You need more of Christ. You need more of the Spirit in you, because the fruit of the Spirit is joy. If you need goodness, or if you're struggling in your faith, isn't it God that gives us our faith to begin with? This is the work that God wants to do in us. And as God does this work in us, as I allow God to do this work, God, you have redeemed me. You have justified me. You have forgiven me my sins. I didn't deserve it. You seated me victorious over sin and death. You have given me power and authority over Satan and all of his demons. Stuff we talked about in our last sermon. Now I want you to do something. I want to be able to experience the fruit of that. And the way I experience the fruit of that is to allow God's work that he started at salvation to continue in my life. As I live in the Spirit, let me walk in the Spirit. As I live in the Spirit, let me walk in love. As I live in the Spirit, let me walk in joy. And as that fruit becomes evident in my life, guess what people around me get to do? They're walking about in their day and they don't have any joy. And they walk by me and they say, oh, there's some joy. And they pull the fruit off of our lives, which is the fruit of the Spirit. They're seeing the Spirit. They're seeing God. And now what God was doing in you is now being worked through you to other people. And now you are walking in good works. And you are being fulfilled as a Christian because you're saying, wow, this is awesome. I get to make a difference in people's lives. Wow, this is cool. I never thought that this would matter so much to somebody. And we find that fulfillment of what God is doing in us as we allow him to work through us. The last part of this chapter that we looked at, it explained what Christ did. Christ came preaching peace, right? And he brought the two into one, the uncircumcised and the circumcised. He brought the Gentile and the Jew together into one body, into one thing, and that was called the church. The mystery of God is the church. It is a group of people that's come together. You know, we've been grafted in, the Bible tells us, because we're not Jewish. But just because, as Larry shared, just because you're born a Jew doesn't mean you get to go to heaven. You've got to receive Christ. And just as the Jew has to receive Christ, so does the Gentile have to receive Christ. When that happens, they come together. Look at it in verse 18. For through him we both, the Jew and the Gentile have access by one Spirit to the Father. So we come together, Christians or the Jews and the Gentiles, we come together to God for salvation through one Spirit. There's one way to heaven, isn't there? Not all roads lead to heaven. Many roads lead to the one Spirit, but they all don't lead to heaven. I'm going to show you something really cool here, so hang with me. Verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers. Is there a theme here? Are you seeing this? You see, you once were something, but now you are no longer that. You once were a stranger and a foreigner. In other words, you were once afar off from God. You were once a sinner. You were once underneath the judgment of God. You were once walking as a sin of disobedience, as we read about in chapter 1, but not any longer. That's who you once were. But because of the one Spirit that we came to, you are now fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You once were not part of the family of God, but now you are part of the family of God. Amen? We all have a past, don't we? We all have a past. Some of our pasts are good, some of our pasts are bad, but in all of our past, every one of us, without exception, we all have sin in our past. Every single one of us. And the beauty of the power of God delivering us from the pit of hell is the same beauty of the power of God now living through us to works of righteousness. Some of you don't get that. It just went right over your head. The same power that delivered us from the power of hell is the same power that lives in us to works of righteousness. You once were afar off, but now you've been brought near. In other words, you once could do nothing right, but now you can. You once had a desire, but you didn't have the ability, but now you have the ability. You once did not walk in love, but now you walk in love. Because of why? The fruit of the Spirit. The same Spirit that has delivered us is the same Spirit that works in us, that has now set us free and allows us to accomplish these things that we long to accomplish. Galatians 6:15. Listen closely. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. So whatever your past was, that doesn't matter. Whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, that doesn't matter. What matters is a new creation. Are you a new creation? Have you been born again into the family of God? Now I want you to see this as I close. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go with me there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, referring to Christ dying for us. And he died for all, that those who live shall live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. This gives us a picture of don't go stealing anymore. Don't do that. Get a job so you can have money to do these works of righteousness. He died for them and rose again. Verse 16, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. what I want you to see in verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. He's writing this to the Christians. Christians, don't regard one another according to their flesh, but regard them as a new creation. Title of today's sermon is Working Together. God has brought the Jew and the Gentile together. He's established his church. Through Christ, we have peace. Through the one Spirit, we have forgiveness. And God has brought us together, and he's doing a work in us. And he wants us to walk out that work. But one of the things that destroys the church is when we don't allow the fruit of the Spirit to bear fruit in our lives. We don't do it. And it's a shame because it's the natural progression of the Christian life. I'm born again. I'm set apart. I got God's Spirit in me. His Spirit dwells in me. And that Spirit longs to produce fruit in my life, produce fruit in your life. When we allow him to do it, it's a tremendous thing. When we choose not to allow him to do it, when we choose to live after the flesh of Ephesians chapter 1, when we choose to live after as we did as sons and daughters of disobedience, then we're not fulfilled, we're not satisfied, we're not walking in victory, we're not even experiencing those things that God has given to us to accomplish and to do. But as we work together, as Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, that God has brought us together. We all had a past. God has reconciled our pasts and brought them together under the one Spirit of Jesus Christ. And as we move forward and as we work together and as we live together, we don't regard anybody as their past. In other words, don't hold somebody's past against them because they are a new creation. And I know in the natural, we love to do that. Because if I can hold somebody's past against them, then it gives me control, or so I think. If I keep people pushed down, then people can't rise up and go beyond me. And that's where our insecurities come in. But praise God, you know what? I was a sinner bound for hell. But God delivered me and set me free. And he has seated me in the right hand of the Father. And I'm free from those things in my past. And I walk in victory. And I am God's child. And I have no sin and shame in my life. I'm not perfect. But you know what? He's done the same thing for you. And when we come together and we hang out on Sunday mornings, or we get together during the week, or we're talking and we're doing this and that, that's how we should interact with one another. Praising God for what God has done. And many of us in this room, we've known each other for a long time, many years. We should celebrate those victories that God has done in a person's life. Celebrating the good work that God has done in our life. And those that are, you know, still struggling and still learning, and I'm one of them. I'm still struggling in areas of my life. You're still struggling in areas of your life. But bless God, let's let the power of God work through us, because it's him that works in us to do good works. We come together, we encourage one another, we challenge one another, we bless one another. We pick the fruit off of one another, we eat it. Man, this is good, you're doing great, this is awesome, I love your good works, keep it up. And we're like, really? That meant a lot to you? It was, you know, I didn't really think it. Matt, oh no, it was great, it was wonderful. Thanks for the phone call, thanks for the card, thanks for the, you know, new car, thanks for, you know, whatever. You know, bless God, you know, hallelujah. Working together, if you were to go through this, and I encourage you to do so, to look at these verses, Ephesians 2, 11, verse 22. See, both have the same, this is what we all have in common. We both heard the same message in verse 17. And Christ did the work, it's supposed to be for all of us. Christ did the same work for Christ, but whatever. See, I'm not perfect. But notice, the same work that Christ did for me, he did for you. Doesn't make me any better than you. We're equal in this. Let's come together and work together. And number three, that both have access with the same Spirit. Ooh, I got the Holy Spirit. You got this Spirit. You got the, no. All the same Spirit. All born again of the same Spirit. And then the last number four. Both are being built up together of the same household. I'm going to close with verses 21 of Ephesians chapter 2. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Isn't that the heart behind it? That my physical body that the Bible tells is a holy temple set apart, referencing the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament. The same Spirit that hovered over the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies is the same Spirit that dwells inside of me as an individual, as a believer of God. Same Spirit that lives inside of you. But isn't that our heart, that as we come together with all of our unique pasts, all of our unique abilities, we all come together, that this place, even this physical structure, even every place that we do ministry, would be a dwelling place of God? Is that your heart this morning for our church? That we would work together and wherever, no matter what we're doing, whether it's here in this place or it's in the neighborhood or it's across the oceans, that wherever we go, the Spirit of God, the dwelling place of God is there. And when people come into the presence of God, their lives are changed. Their lives are changed because they see the fruit of God working in my life and working in your life. Will you bow your head this morning and close your eyes? I know there's still some that probably are struggling with this whole concept of verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. But this morning I pray that you would be encouraged, knowing that it is God that works in us. It is God that works in us for his pleasure. I'm going to ask simply this question this morning. Is there an area of your life? Let's just be honest this morning. Can we be real this morning before our God? Is there an area of your life that has been a struggle after a struggle after a struggle to find victory? I'm here to tell you, friend, that the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, that came into your life at salvation, is the same power, the same Spirit that can deliver you from those things. And in fact, he already has, because of the cross of Christ. A Christian, I know we're going to have temptations. I know we're going to face trials. No, we're going to suffer tribulations. We're going to have some difficult times. But the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead has raised us from the dead and has seated us in the heavenly places. That is what Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus. Christian, you're set apart. Christian, you're holy. Christian, you do not need to strive and struggle to overcome, because you have already come, because you were in Christ. And so for us, it's simply a matter of believing and trusting in the completed work of Christ, and to know that he is the one that gives victory. He is the one that's already done this work. He is the one that works in me. He is the one that works in you. He is the one that bears fruit in our lives. In the Bible, Jesus himself gave us the parable. He gave us the parable of the man's heart as different types of soil. See, that's what we are. We're just the soil. And the Spirit of God comes and lives inside of us, and it bears fruit. Father God, I pray this morning, but by your power and by your strength, by the works of your Holy Spirit, God, that you would come and give to our mind the understanding. Lord, enlighten our eyes that we could see Christ. We could see the accomplished work of Christ, that you have set us free from sin and shame. You have set us free and set us above sins and temptations and addictions and these things that come over us time and time again. Father God, would you come and work in our lives like never before? God, will we be found a people holy unto you by our position in Christ? And will we be found a people that present ourselves to you as instruments of righteousness? As when we bring our gifts of righteousness, God, it would be for you and for your glory. God, would you work in our hearts like never before? Holy Spirit, come and bear fruit in our lives. Bear fruit in our relationships. Bear fruit in our marriages. Bear fruit in our workplaces. Bear fruit in this church. God, may we not regard anybody that is a Christian, may we not regard them as a sinner. But God, may we regard one another, and we come together and work together as a new creation, as a people bearing fruit unto you. Lord, thank you for our time together this morning. Lord, go with us as we leave here this morning. May we bear fruit this week. May we walk in those works of righteousness. We ask these things according to the work of the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.